Hello and welcome to another episode of RoundNet Legends. If you're new here, welcome. I'm Mike White of Lefty on Two. This show is all about the history and stories of RoundNet's past, and I get there by interviewing RoundNet Legends, community members, and ballers. I am very excited about this episode we have today because I'm interviewing someone who I think will have a very unique perspective on the sport and its history. You know, this player did not have a lot of early success. They had a lot of, you would say, semi-recent success, but was there for all those early days. So I'm interested to see what he has to say and his experience. You know him now as one of the best players in the country, half of the finalist, boisterous, and just an absolute legend. Of course, I'm talking about Caleb Heck. Welcome, Caleb.
Mike White, thanks for having me. Excited to talk some RoundNet today.
I know. Caleb and I have already been riffing and the energy is very high. We're real excited about this. But anyway, Caleb, let's start with where we always start, which is the first interaction with RoundNet, which of course will probably be in Lancaster, PA, if you've listened to the Becca Graham episode, but let's start with you.
Yeah. So I started playing RoundNet, probably about six and a half years ago. Started when I was 15 years old. My brother Corey, who is maybe a distant memory to a lot of people nowadays, but he had brought it back from a Christian music festival here in Pennsylvania. He brought it back to Lancaster, brought it back to the community, and I was instantly hooked. Started playing that summer in 2014, almost 2015. Wasn't like crazy into like the competitive aspect of the sport of spikeball. I don't even think we had been introduced to that aspect yet. But after continuing to play, I think we had, Tuesday and Thursday leagues here in Lancaster. The community just kept building. That's when I was first introduced to it, and kept getting into it, and here we are today, 6.5 years later.
Yeah, just real quick, like, would you ever have pictured where you'd be today with RoundNet back then?
I did not. I believe I was a seventh grader in middle school when I first started playing, and now here I am probably 2 years out of high school and loving the community. That's probably one of the biggest reasons I stay in RoundNet, and couldn't be more grateful.
That's funny. All right, so you didn't do much competitive at the start, mm-hmm. but I know that you did semi at some point, at least semi-competitive. When did that kind of start for you?
Yeah, it honestly started, and when I say it didn't start, competitively, it was probably about, 3 or 4 months after that point when we, got into the fact that you could play, spikeball competitively. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, probably when people are starting out, that they look to whoever's closest to them. And for me, I looked to my brother, my second oldest brother, Kyle. And mm-hmm. so we were playing together a lot in Lancaster, and there was the 2015 national championship in Nashville. And at that point, we were starting to solidify ourselves as, we were playing against some, really good competition in Lancaster. We're like, hey, let's go play the national championship. And we definitely, we had comments of like, hey, you should play in, advanced or whatever the division, like you guys would, do okay. And I was like, screw that. Like, let's go win a national championship. Yeah. Like I remember just getting so many comments from like
Eagle, you're totally good enough, right? Why aren't you playing in advanced?
Yeah. And I was just like, I want a trophy. I knew that was a very, possible, opportunity for us. And just the fact that it was like the fact that they even had like a youth national championship, the second year, maybe second or third year of spikeball doing national championships. It was like, wow, I want to do that.
You're a national champion.
I'm a national champion. Like, I don't know whatever happened in 2019, but that would have been my second national championship if we would have won that. But It was something where, yeah, it was like, man, we could have been, we were the first youth national champions in spikeball history. And whether, you know, we should have been in playing in the youth division or not, I think it's still it's
age is all that matters there. Age is all that matters. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that was a cool experience. I think I also just remember like those, how a comment can go so far. And it just doesn't matter your position, where you are. And what I'm alluding to is Skylar Bowles. I had, known him a little bit, had played with him just, mm-hmm. Barely. And, he had just made that comment, kind of the same thing that Ian made. And, why are you playing youth? You totally could play in our division. And, that just made me feel so good. That made me want to work even harder in terms of just evolving my game. And I always look back now and like, man, Skylar won that national championship, and he was telling me that I could play in his division.
Right, he was the best player on the court that day, arguably, and was telling you to join up.
Telling a bunch of 15-year-olds that you could play in that division, which was huge back then. That would be like Preston or I, going to a 15-year-old and saying, dude, you could totally play pro, And I know that obviously the divisions have evolved, but that would kind of be similar to that experience. So
right, truthfully, you were a 15-year-old kid and you have. Whatever, 25-year-old Skylar being like, come on, the best player in the game right now. Like,
I don't even know if Skylar remembers that, but that was something like, it's crazy how just, whether it's spikeball or anything, it's, you're just what you say can have a huge impact in what, what somebody thinks about.
You still remember that. You still remember that to this day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think one of the things, kind of getting off track, it's one of the things that makes spikeball so great is the fact that, we can have top players that are gracious enough and generous enough to, offer words of encouragement. Skylar didn't have to do that. He didn't have to make those comments. Like, he had a big day ahead of him, but he chose to go out of his way. So huge impact that made on my career in around it. So it was a great day in 2015. We won national champion. There's still a picture of me and Kyle standing next to Chris Reuter and Thomas Summers in 2015 nationals in Nashville. So
that's funny. That that reminded me of a similar thing with you, where for Skylar and Ian, it must be insanely cool right nowadays to see where you are. And I see that with a lot of people. Like, I remember so many instances where like I played with someone and didn't really know who they were and they weren't great. And then like, a couple of years later, I'm like, oh, I've met this person and they're right. So like, I remember the specific one, I remember like Zach Duffy. I was just in California staying with a friend and did an app meetup and played with him and his friend, and they just played in a tournament and weren't great. And then obviously, right, like he was a threat on the scene the next year. And it's just like, oh, what is happening? Yeah. So like, there's so many of these instances where you and a lot of other people, it feels like a little overnight success. And it's kind of really cool to see that. I'm sure for Skylar and Ian and many others who played with you when you were very young, seeing you now is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the classic middle school baseball, picking teams. Like, I just remember being that young. Obviously, by no fault to anybody who was pro then, Ian, Tyler, just everybody, when I would go to, Lancaster was a huge hub back in, 2015, 2016, 2017, like, everyone wanted to come play around that, around Lancaster. And I would, of course, want to come play with, all these top players. And we would get at the pickup and, obviously you're choosing your, the four. And I wasn't one of them. Yeah. Like, I wasn't the first pick. And that always, me being the competitive nature that I have was like, that stung. But also I was, mature enough to recognize that I wasn't the best one there. And it's now, so, the last couple of years, it's something that I always think about. It's like, man, 5 years ago, I was in the boat of nobody wanting to include me on, you know, their team. Whereas now it's like, you know, when you think of pickup, it's like, always have Caleb in the, you know, in a pickup session whenever we play pickup, which is, you know, few and far between at this point.
Does knowing that affect how you interact with other players, you know, like wanting to include them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say I'd be lying if sometimes we're like, hey, yeah, let's bring in the person that can, you know, barely hit, which, you know, is it's definitely a sacrifice. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I don't think any player would try to hide that fact that it is a sacrifice to have somebody that isn't at that level. But, you know, I will say on occasions, like I will go out of my way to, you know, there's always a handful of people that come up and ask me how to cut or just ask to play pickup. And that's always something that I try, you know, my best to, whether I'm sitting down, whether I just played, like to, you know, as hard as it sounds right here, to get up and play with them and after, you know, a long day of playing. So, yes, it does change my perspective, but it can be super impactful for people that I choose to do that for.
Let's continue in your timeline, because truthfully, right, that was just 2015 Nationals. Many people don't know you until your 28 debut or maybe late 2017 with your brother. So let's go into 2016. So you and Kyle Pigs Might Fly, you had your jerseys. I remember you guys playing a little bit. You know, going into at this time, was Roundnet like a serious thing for you, or were you just kind of doing it?
No, it was pretty serious for me at that point. So that's when 2016, when the season started, Kyle and I had at least verbally agreed to, hey, let's play, you know, let's play 2016. Let's, you know, play a little bit. Let's play, you know, try to, you know, be as, you know, as good as we can. I believe, I don't know the specific circumstances, but I think I was a lot more serious than Kyle was. And he being where he was at in high school and just, you know, having different things, basketball was more on his mind. He wasn't as serious. And when we would go to tournaments, he, you know, I don't think he would have, you know, problem with me saying it. He definitely was the weaker link there. So it just, I think we played maybe a couple of tournaments, but then eventually I kind of faded away from that. He kind of understood that. He did his own thing. In 2016, I think I played a couple of events, but not to the point of I was, you know, crazy good. Like, I think I was, you know, starting a trend upwards. I was starting to practice a lot in my basement. I was trying to, you know, play as, you know, as much as I could in the community, like, you know, as many evenings as I could. But I did not have a, you know, a partner that I would have called, you know, if anything, maybe Micah Zimmerman. I think we might have played a couple of like fundraiser tournaments. But other than that, it was 2016 throughout the season was kind of just wasn't very active in terms of how many tournaments I went to.
And when you say you were taking it seriously and you were trying to improve, did you have certain goals in mind, or were you just trying to just get as good as you could?
I was trying to get as good as I could. Like I said, playing a lot. I was like a typical Lancaster Roundnet player. I would play a lot within my community and then never travel. And if I did travel, I would play like a couple of Lancaster events, maybe a New York event. So that's what 2016 looked like for me. I would play a lot in my basement, maybe play a lot, you know, during the week. Mm-hmm. But in terms of tournaments, I don't believe I went to a plethora of tournaments in the 2016 season.
Mm-hmm. And how did this and we can get the year after, like, how did this, you were in high school and you were playing other sports, how did those kind of interact? Like, I know a lot of coaches don't like their players doing stuff on the side.
Yeah, so yeah, it was, I believe 2016. Yes, 2016 would have been, I think I would have been a freshman in high school. So I was in that transition of, you know, middle school to high school. The spring sport, I did play baseball. I was actually, my freshman year, I batted .410 in baseball. So I was like I was on the trend, like baseball was my sport when I grew, like, you know, from fifth grade to ninth grade. I played travel. I played elite. I was, you know, baseball was a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely hard in terms of the spring and trying to, you know, navigate, you know, round net and also baseball. I don't think it was a huge problem. I think, you know, there might've been a tournament or two that I went to that, you know, the coach was not pleased with by any means, but it wasn't something that it was a life or death like decision I needed to make, like pick round net or pick mm-hmm. baseball. My coach was definitely, you know, kind and kind enough to know that I had options, and mm-hmm. you know, baseball wasn't my only route that I could take. So it was definitely a challenge in terms of, like, you know, where my time went. I was, you know, in ninth grade, I had different things I wanted to be doing. But yeah, that's kind of how it went in terms of baseball and around that. Mm-hmm.
And then, so 2017, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you had a teammate either. Did you try to find one?
We get into 2017, I actually, 2016, I got a shout out Aaron Bluestone from the West Coast, because I had played the 2016 season, and at the very end of it, I was like looking for a partner for the championship in Washington, D.C., and I forget who connected me with him. It might have been Ian, but Aaron Bluestone is from, you know, I don't think he plays anymore. He got married. But he was somebody that, like, I was super, like, I was, like, really into playing because I heard his name. Somebody, you know.
He's an OG, like, West Coast player.
Yeah, yeah, he was. And I think he had previously played with, like, Victor Ho. He was, like, their original Classy Vacuums, potentially. So I played 2016 with him. I think we played whatever the highest division was. And we didn't do horrible. I think we lost to Barrel. Honestly, yeah. Like, I don't know if Ben can fact check me on that, but I do remember that. And I was like, I know I didn't play too much in the 2016 season, but I do remember Aaron Bluestone and his name. I remember us playing. And so I'm sure he remembers that. Obviously he might not be listening to this, but if you're listening to this, I love playing with you. And that was just such a
fun. That's so funny.
But yeah, I don't know. That's a name that, you know, nowadays people probably do not know of him, but But anyways, I just want to throw that out there.
That's fair. And well, so let's all start. So, right at this time, you're just trying to get better, right? Mm-hmm. You're clearly practicing a lot. At this point, or at any point in 2017, did you get discouraged by a lack of, right? If you're playing a lot, you may think, and playing with strong players, you may wonder, why am I not at their level yet?
Yeah. I think at that point, when, you know, heading into the 2017 season, I believe at the end of the season, in 2016, I had started to play with some higher level players. So I know Tyler Chizik was somebody that would frequent, you know, Lancaster, just because he, you know, lives in Long Island. There were players that, you know, I would play with regularly, and I think I would compete with them, you know, extremely well. I think at that point I was just struggling to find a regular partner to grow with and just you know, solidify ourselves as like a top team in the season. So I think that was the bigger part of going into 2017. There was uncertainty around, you know, who am I going to play with? Who are we going to start training with? That was a big issue for me. And it was just something like I wanted to resolve as soon as possible and get a teammate mm-hmm. that was going to be as dedicated as me.
And did you find someone in 2017?
That's a great question. I don't think I did. It would have been an earlier, like, I think in, oh man, I should have came more prepared for this.
So my answer is, I don't think you did.
I don't think I did either. I do remember playing a couple of tournaments with Patrick Drucker in 2017. And that was actually,
you guys had a pretty big win, right?
That was the, like, if somebody would ask me, like, Mike, if you asked me, like, what was my, like, the, the tournament that I like kind of knew I made it, or like I reached that level.
That overnight success, right?
It was with Patrick. We had played the cream of the crop, and we had beaten Tyler and Ryan Fitzgerald, the rookies, in the finals of the cream of the crop. And I knew like that was like, because it was not me going into the tournament. Everyone was like, Patrick Drucker. And even after the tournament, everyone was like, man, Drucker must have carried so hard.
Drucker must have been so good.
And I remember like, if Drucker says that, like, I'm going to be like, or like, cause he knew like he didn't, of course, but he was like, dude, Caleb, like it wasn't like, and everyone would have like, that there would have obviously said that, but it was, that was one where
right.
Not only was it a great tournament, but the last play, I have that footage somewhere. I need to show it somewhere, but me diving full length over the net, a drop shot that landed like half a centimeter, you know, over the rim. Like that was the end game three. I think it was like 25-23 to beat them. That was a pretty cool tournament in terms of wins.
I remember that, that clip going pretty viral. It's funny being, it's a win-win for Drucker. If he wins, everyone's like, wow, he must be good. If he loses, it's like, wow, Caleb must be bad.
Yeah.
but true. So was that was before the 2017 season or early 2017, I believe, right? Or maybe that late 2016.
What had that been? It might have been, because I know it had to be, I don't know, the cream of the crop tournament ended. It had to end maybe in the 2018, because I think Drucker and I had played a couple of tournaments together before 2017, but I believe the 2017 was that big win. I believe we would have played a couple of other tournaments together where, like, you know, we might have won one, but the 2017 was the one. I think it was in August or September, because the cream of the crop always happened right before nationals. So the 2017 where we beat the rookies was that time, August, September.
Regardless, that's a big win on the rookies whenever it was. I'm just trying to like conceptualize the timeline, because so let's say 2017, no partner, still grinding, doing your same length thing, not really traveling, but playing a lot. But you did. So this is when you first, obviously I knew about you, but when I was like, oh, this guy's a threat, was when you came out to West Regionals 2017.
West Regionals 2017 was at that point, I was like, I want to get Premier. Like, I think was Premier in Nationals that first, that was 2017 or they
yes, implemented 2017 Premier. Was the first year. So you wanted it for Nationals 2017.
Yes, that was the whole purpose. So I knew I was debating, do I want to go to 20? Because you could play, if your partner was in the West Coast, you could play in the West Coast or, you know, whatever region. So I remember like looking, you know, scouting what region, you know, because at that point, I think I decided like I was going to play with my brother, Corey, for regionals or nationals. And I was like, oh, West Coast maybe could be, you know, easier to, you know, get Premier in the advanced division. Also, it's, you know, I like visiting California, of course.
Yeah.
I think we picked the West Coast, and the obviously the most notable matchup in the advanced division was Subpar. Subpar played in the advanced division in 2017 West Regionals. Of course, Subpar has been a household name for the last couple of years. Everybody knows who Subpar, or at least Josh Bergiacomo or Jacob Martinez. So that was a huge finals in the advanced division. I think was a game three. I think it went to three games, and it was tied 17-17. And I believe I ended at 21-17 with four straight aces on them. So yeah, or it was like 18-17, three straight aces. I ended it with three straight aces, and it was just like, wow, like that just felt so good. It was such a great series. Josh and Jacob were great players, and they continued to be great players. And that was just such a great tournament.
Looking back on that, that's such an interesting advanced finals. None of you are Premier, or Corey may have been Premier, but right, Corey's Premier. The three of you aren't right now. Looking back, right?
Oh yeah,
Subpar, like, and Caleb Heck.
That would be the equivalent of like you know, three baseball stars, you know, in, you know, Little League or like, you know, in the AAU, like, you know, like Zion Williamson, John Morant in like the AAU, and like looking back, like it's just crazy.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, of course why would we be in the advanced division? It was just a crazy day. It was going into that tournament. We didn't even know who they were, but I was like looking, like I was scouting out the advanced division, and I saw them playing and I was like, ooh, they look smooth with their hands. Like the way they're moving, like I bet they're, you know, they're pretty good. And long and behold, you know, we meet them in the finals, and we end up taking them out. But of course I'm on the winning side. So it's smiling.
It's good for you. Yeah. I'm sure they're still stoked. And then they came out to nationals as well. But right, that's another example of like, I think similarly to you, they were a team on the West Coast that didn't travel, played a ton in their community, didn't travel at all. And then right, 2018, they travel and they're like, you know, a big team, but it's pretty funny.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, I think there's more tournaments, so it's easier to get noticed. But back then, it was a lot of kind of regional stuff. So then, let's talk 2017 Nationals, because that was a pretty good day for you guys as well.
Yeah, it was a great day. We had gone, well, first of all, Heckleberry Win. What a great team name!
Great team name.
I forget who it might have been, Corey, but yeah, for all of you who aren't book nerds, Huckleberry Finn is a novel that is widely known. So we had a play on words called Heckleberry Win.
Very clever.
Want to give props to that name first. So we went into the day. We got obviously in the Premier Division. First thing we noticed was we were in the pool of Chiswick Showalter. So that was, of course, you know, a bittersweet perspective going into it, just knowing that we're going to probably get, you know, dismantled by the number one team at that point. So, you know, we played them, you know, I think it was like 21, maybe 15-10, 15-11 at the, you know, 5-point win in pool play was, you know, that would signify we thought of it as like a crushing, but you know, 5-point win nowadays isn't bad at all against
CF. Well, I'm thinking about CS, right? Like true. That's fine, right?
Yeah, true. So actually looking back at it, I think
you just got Premier. It's your first Premier tournament and you're upset that you lose by 5 to the number one team.
We weren't satisfied, Mike. But yeah, anyways, we came out of the pool. I think we were like 3-2, 4, you know, I think we lost 2 games. I don't remember everybody who was in our pool. It was a good pool. Obviously, you know, when we look back at that, the biggest win that we had was against Origin Chaos, you know, Ryan Weiler and Matt Bonin. And that, you know, Origin was always that team that was like, you know, they had a lot of I don't want to call it cockiness because they weren't really cocky. They just had a lot of like fight to them. They just had a lot of like, swagger to them in a good
way. I think swagger is a kind of good word, or some steez if people use that phrase. Like they have like something about them, some ooze of confidence.
I would say confidence was a good word. And Origin Chaos was if I'm not mistaken, was a top 10 team, maybe even like a top 5 team throughout the season. Ryan Weiler, Matt Bonin. Ryan Weiler was a very, very good player. He probably still is right now. He could probably still pick it up. But like they were a good team. Definitely expected to beat us. Like I think we were known as two really solid players that, you know, could have a chance, you know, beating them. But I don't think it was ever thought of, like, nobody, you know, Vegas wouldn't pick us to win. Like we would definitely have the under in it all day long. Just 2 games. Like I think we won in 2 games in the round of 16, I believe. And that was a shock. Like that was like something where, you know, I think I watched Dylan Fogarty's reaction just because, you know, he was, you know, a good player back then, that somebody I always wanted was like, oh, I want to be a top player, so I'm going to watch him play. And I remember his reaction, like, well, you know, but he always like was, you know, oh, Caleb Heck, you know. So that was always just a good feeling inside of me. And that was a great win. That was one where I was like, if people didn't think that, you know, we had some sort of, you know, skill associated with us, that, you know, they knew it now. Just because we took out, you know, a
good team.
A very good team.
Top eight.
That people considered. So that was a big win in that tournament. Mm-hmm.
I want to say, I think in my perspective, different from Drucker, people knew Corey's skill. So it actually may have been, oh, Caleb must be good, right? Like, right. Corey was good, but he wasn't Drucker good. So it must have been like, oh, Caleb's good. Yeah.
Yeah, that tournament, I think people were beginning to just get that notion of it's more Caleb than anything. I mean, like, you know, playing with good partners definitely has weight to it, but results, you know, start to get you some validity when you play around that. So
yeah.
when you're the common denominator in those wins, it will start to, you know, buzz around the community. So I think that win definitely propelled me to a spot where my name was starting to get out there. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get the next win, which was against Easily Dug. They took out Origin, whatever Drucker, Origin, what was Drucker and Chris's name?
Origin. Oh, goodness.
Well, if we had trivia
Impact,
right now, I would.
Impact.
Okay, yes, great. Yeah, and that was a huge win for them as well. And they were, you know, Andrew Card and Travis Core was a good team back then. I think that was a series we would have loved to have back, just because, like, that was if we would have went into it with Drucker and Chris, I think we would have both been a little bit nervous. Whereas with Andrew and Travis, like, that seemed the balance of mm-hmm. the series seemed to be a bit more level, but we were just nervous. We made mistakes. It was just not our series, but that was, you know, it was okay. We got tied for fifth at, you know, Nationals, you know, in the Premier Division, which I don't think we would have ever thought we would be doing that.
Right.
You know, in the start of the season. So.
Yeah, definitely probably higher than expectations, but it's funny that you say you want it back because, right, looking back, you're like, oh, that was probably pretty winnable, you know?
Yeah. But
does that and other things in your career, do you think about them often? Do you mull over some past events that you could have done differently?
I think every respective athlete does that in their career. I think that's something that, you know, the more you mull over, the more it's going to negatively impact how you look at the future. So I don't try to think about it too much. I always just, if anything, I look at a tournament and see some of the things I could have done better. I also like to look at some of the things I did really well, because I always like to capitalize on the things I do well and just continue to have that compounding effect, because if you focus on things that you do well, you know, most times the things that you don't excel at as much can definitely, you know, come to fruition in terms of your success and where you are in life. So in terms of, I don't think I look at it too much. Of course, like, I look back now and say, man, if I was the player I was, you know, then, you know, like, yeah. I would have won, but like, that's, you know, that's not realistic. Like, you know, the fact was, you know, they played a good series. We were coming off a high, like, you know, Corey and I, you know, we were grateful for the win that we were able to have and the success that we were able to put in that tournament. But, you know, Travis and Andrew played a great game, and they, you know, even after that series, they gave it their all, even, you know, mm-hmm. Andrew playing with, you know, whether it was a bad ankle or he was just dehydrated or whatever it was, like, you know, they definitely played a heck of a series, and they were a great match for us.
Yeah. All right, let's move to 2018. But before we do that, I want to say that talking more about people's perception of you, early 2018, I did a podcast with Tyler Chizik, and he said you were the player to watch out for that year. Obviously kind of came true, but was very interesting at the time. I assume you guys were playing a lot.
So he said that in 2017, the beginning of 2017?
No, early 2018.
Oh, early 2018. Yeah, at that point we would have definitely been playing a good bit. Yeah, he would have definitely been around our RoundNet community, and yeah, we would have played a good amount. I didn't think, like, actually that was 2018. Yeah, I would have said I would have been a player to watch for if I was him too. But like I think you know, playing that, like, man, communities and who you have in your community can oh my gosh, like, can drastically help you in terms of how good you get, like how quickly you get there as well. You know, playing with him, playing with Joel, playing with, you know, playing with the, you know, we have so many good players here. In terms of how we cultivated that, you know, how we grew that, you know, I give that to Allie, I give that to Corey, I give that to a lot of different players around here, just because, you know, people always say, well, I don't have good players around me. Like, that's just how, I mean, it's easy to say that when you don't have good players around you, whereas, like, what you do can drastically affect, you know, what your future looks like. So I look at that and say, you know, I think we just worked our butts off in terms of getting people out, showing them how to play, showing them how to play well. You know, we had, you know, events every single week like that. Like,
over, so you're saying that, like, you, it's no accident that Lancaster had all the players it did.
Absolutely not. No, it's largely because of the effort a lot of people put in to growing our community. It did not happen by any strange, you know, arbitrary circumstance. It happened because of people wanting to get better at the sport, people wanting to just grow their RoundNet career. And, you know, when that happens, when you get a lot of people that have the same goal, oh my gosh, you know, you'll crush your goals like that when people have that, you know, singular focus on that. And so that's why, like, I look at different communities and they ask me, you know, how do you get better? Like, I don't have anybody to play with. Like, that's something that, you know, you get a couple of people that are, you know, dedicated and you have resources, which the RoundNet community has resources. I don't care what you say. You have, you know, Howl Around Net, which is a huge one. You have other platforms. Spikeball puts out videos. There's a lot of places that you can go to get better. There's nothing that you can't do in terms of bettering your round. Like, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, like, people asking how to get better. Like, you know, that's something that is always going to be available for people that actually want to get better.
Going into that more, when you were, and I have two questions, when you were improving, would you play and just kind of play, or were there certain things in mind, like, I'm going to work on this today, I'm going to work on this? And then I guess my second question is, like, you kind of had that, the misnomer is overnight success when you did well at the end of 2017. Did anything change in how you were practicing at near that time?
No, nothing changed about how I was practicing. It was just the amount of times I was practicing. I think I began to put even more time into when I was practicing. At that point, the two things I was practicing on was serving and hitting. Which, you know, of course, now that's what I'm widely known for. Hitting was something that, you know, every time I played, I was trying to hit the ball as low as I could, as fast as I could. And that's something that, you know, took a lot of time, and it took a lot of, you know, hits, you know, took a lot of pickup sessions. And that's something that I just focused on, you know, very much. I don't think there was anything, you know, something that's always been a, you know, a weakness of mine was always just, you know, consistency, and just, you know, getting better at being consistent for a long time. And so that was something going into the 2018 season, I was like, okay, you know, we know we could be good, but, like, how good could we be? And I think there was, you know, hindrances that we saw, and there's obstacles that we saw. And that just kind of was, you know, associated with, okay, you know, if, you know, consistency and just, there's just a couple of other factors, but the big one going into it was consistency. And that was, and that's why I wanted to play more. 'Cause I was like, I correlate, you know, consistency to playing. And if I'm not playing a lot, then, you know, I'm probably not going to be as consistent as I want to be. So, you know, to answer your question, going into the 2018 season, my main concern was how much am I playing and how much is that going to be contributing to how consistent I want to be for the 2018 season.
So you said we there, how good we can be. So let's talk about that. So
yeah,
you teamed up with Joel Graham, and I'll say what, in 2018, how old were you?
2018, I was 17 years old.
So you were 17 and you were teaming up with Joel Graham, who I believe at the time, I want to say, you know, 25. Right. But so older than you, but also a round net legend at that point. How did you guys just kind of form together?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what had happened was, actually we got to go back to 2017 Nationals. I had actually, we had lost to Easily Dug. I was watching whether it was a quarterfinal or semifinal match, and Joel and Scott Wilson, his partner at that time, Nashberg, they had lost to, who did they lose to?
Shizik? Jeff Schaefer and George Risk.
George. Oh, that's right. They did. Oh, that's crazy. Oh my word. So anyways, they had lost and I was just watching and all of, Joel comes up to me and is like, hey, you want to go for a walk? And I was like, sure. Like, of course the Joel Graham-esque, like, you know, totally subtle, but also like, you're so inclined to do it because it's Joel and, you know, he's a great guy. We obviously were friends at that point. It wasn't like a weird, like, you know, who are you? Or, you know, we were friends at that point. So, talked about, you know, 2018 season, and he obviously got straight to the point of, he asked me like what my plans were at that, you know, that time.
Already? You know, this is like bracket still going on.
Well, because I think at that point, Scott was like, he had told Joel, like he was going to be done. So it wasn't like man, Scott just played a horrible game three.
I'm out.
Like, it wasn't like that. It was, I think he was like looking for, he was just asking about my plans and if something, you know, like happened, like, you know, he wanted to jump on it before, you know, we had, you know, time to think about it. So I had, you know, me and Corey had talked and we had definitely got to the point where, you know, Corey does stuff like missionary work in California and, you know, his round net career wasn't going to be his main focus. So, you know, I had known if I was going to be serious, it was going to be with somebody else for the entire duration of the 2018 season. So that conversation was definitely a relevant conversation that I wanted to be having. Also, the fact that it was Joel Graham, in terms of Nashberg, you know, widely, very, very, it had a lot of achievements in terms of podiums and just different, you know, wins. And so I was elated by the fact that somebody of his caliber was approaching me. I didn't go to him like, Joel, come on. I want to play with you. Like, it was, hey, Caleb, like, I think you're good. Like, you know, can, you know, what do you think about me teaming up? So I think it was very, very, just eye opening to me that, like, the fact that, you know, it was getting to the point where, like, I could have a decent trajectory to, you know, getting to that, you know, top tier of round net teams and round net players. So it was an awesome thing that happened. I think we had kind of left the 2017 Nationals that we were gonna think about it once the season schedule, you know, came out and there were dates that lined up with what we wanted to, you know, play with each other, you know, we were gonna go for it. And of course, you know, rest is history, and we played.
You did, and you guys were a strong team. I guess in general, I'm just curious, like, what it was like playing with Joel. I know for a lot of teams it's different. Some just show up and play, some talk a lot in between. Kind of what was your experience with the 717?
It was definitely a lot more strategy than most times. Like, I think we had, like, this was my first serious team. So, like, a lot of, like, you know, we wanted to be, strategy oriented as possible. And so we would always evaluate our performance of a tournament. We had a lot of practice sessions, solely dedicated on, what do we want to do? Like, what do we want to, as far as our defense, like, do we want to scheme against this team differently than, we do a different team? Mm-hmm. And so, I would definitely say we didn't go into a tournament unprepared, which, it could be to a fault. Like, I think the more, like, the less stress you put on yourselves in terms of having a game plan could be a little bit more favorable. Whereas, like, if you're thinking about it, like, am I in this position? Am I here? Like, that could be, that could leave for some just, mistakes that, come into the door. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's all up for grabs in terms of how you perceive things and what you want to do in terms of your round that game. But we definitely had a lot of thought, a lot of strategy going into tournaments. Mm-hmm.
And was there ever a time where you feel like you found that sweet spot where, like, your strategy was working, but also you were just kind of free flowing?
In terms of, like, the entire season or just, like, in a given tournament?
Just in the season. Yeah.
I think I would describe our 2018 season as, like, there were a lot of ups and downs. Like, I think, like, if somebody who was playing us back then and just, followed us for the entire season, I think they would say we won the games we were supposed to win and we lost the games that we were supposed to lose. Like, we didn't have, I mean, we had ups, like, in the beginning of the season, I think we had a couple of upsets. We didn't have anything, like, we didn't lose to any team that caused us to go down in the rankings. Like, I think we consistently were around the number six team in the world, number seven team in the world, which, to me was like, yo, we're number 16. Like, this was, I think I jumped from being like the 30th ranked player to like the eighth player in the world. And like, that to me was like, like, we're jumping like crazy. Like, this is great. Like, I was happy. Like, I was, this was a new experience for me. Joel obviously might've not been as satisfied just because.
It's very different for Joel. Right. He's been a top player for multiple seasons at that point.
Yeah. So it was the where we were in our careers were definitely, polar opposite. Mm-hmm. He's been playing for a very long time. It was just different. I had never experienced the success that I had in that season up until that point. I mean, advance, but it was different. Like, I think we got, third, second, like, premier event, mm-hmm. which was, something that I was, took great pride in back then. And so it was that season was great. And I think Joel, like, I don't know Joel's perspective on us, but like, I think he took more of like he tried to be more of a mentor and like just somebody that could provide as much guidance to me as possible. I mean, of course, competitive, but like, I think he also understood the potential that I could have and he's Joel. Like, he's like, I love the guy. He's a great person all around. Like, of course, mm-hmm. you work with him, but he was somebody that I could always count on for encouragement and in terms of like what we could do better. Like, there were times that I would kind of just be frustrated with myself and the team, and maybe a different partner would have not handled that as as gracious as Joel did. And not that I was, people were probably like thinking in their heads, like, what did you do, Caleb? Nothing. But like, the fact that like Joel was somebody that we could rebound very quickly because of the way that he handled himself and the approach he takes to competitive sports and just mm-hmm. life in general. And I think that's something that not everybody that plays around that has the blessing and the opportunity to be around. And that's just something that I was blessed to have with as a partner with Joel.
Was there anything specific about Roundnet or anything that you learned that year that you don't think you ever would have learned if it wasn't for playing with Joel?
That's a good one. I could go in a couple different rounds, but I think the biggest one that I took going out of 2018 that helped me with, obviously as I continued to grow as a Roundnet player was just the way I play the game of RoundNet, and I think, you know, up until, you know, 2018, I was a very, like, my emotions could have got, you know, could get the best of me. Like, I think that was a big thing for people, you know, when they were doing scouting reports of, you know, Caleb Heck, they were always like, you know, he's a young kid, like, you know, he, you know, just let him get in his head and you're good. Like, that was the scouting report. Like, you know, as soon as he missed serves, like, you know, you guys got the game.
Six.
And I think, yeah, like, oh yeah. Like, it's just, it's just bound to happen. Like, just let Caleb, you know, make mistakes and, you know, he'll get in his head and then you guys are golden. So I think that was something Joel did or just a good job at, was just making me realize that there's the more composed you are with when you make mistakes, the easier it is to rebound and just ultimately grow as a player. And I think that was something whether I realized it or not, it was definitely eye-opening to me, mm-hmm. you know, with playing with Joel. And I think that helped me, you know, in how I grew as a RoundNet player mm-hmm. after that.
That's interesting and makes me think, I can imagine, less so in 2019, but in 2018, you would get frustrated, and you still do, right? And you go like this.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. That's a basketball thing that I picked up. But yeah, that's something I do.
But I don't think but I haven't really ever seen Joel be frustrated. But I assume he is. So that's really interesting because, right, it's on, right, it's, I'm sure who he is helps him, but it's also very much on purpose, I'm sure. You know, him and a lot of players work hard to keep that composure and to not get as frustrated.
I think even the greatest, like, I was going to say, like, even the shyest person, but, like, I think even a person that has the best composure in the world, there's still effort that goes into that. Nobody is just innately mm-hmm. composed because that's how they were created. Any competitor has that just fire in themselves for when they make a mistake. Like, it's just, you know, like, I would question your competitive spirit if you did not get frustrated and you didn't show it. So, like, I think anybody that gets frustrated, like, I think there's effort involved with that and just evolving and just growing, just like how you respond to, you know, frustration or whatever it is. And so, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I know Joel puts a ton into his personal development and just being the, you know, best person he can be. And so, yeah, like, I definitely think that there's a lot that goes into his composure and how he responds to adversity.
Well, lastly, one thing. So, right, so you went from 30th to 8th, right? So that's kind of, right, going from nothing, going from youth national champ, we'll give you that, to kind of just hanging out, playing, then, okay, you get premier, okay, you get top 8 at nationals, okay, you have a whole season, now you're a top 10 player in the world. Where I think that comes in is to what we're talking about with who you play with. Do you think kind of that exponential rise goes with, as you get better, you get to play more? Do you think that, like, why do you think you were able to go from 30 to 8?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can't disregard the fact that I put a lot of work into it to get to that point. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and I think I don't want to discourage the people that have might think to themselves, like, hey, I put in a lot of the work, like, why am I not the 8th best player? You know, there's just a lot of, you know, there's just a lot to be said, and there's a lot of different variables that contribute to that and to getting to that point. Like, not everybody mm-hmm. that, like, puts in 10 hours of work, you know, everyone's going to be the equal, you know. I always describe it as, okay, you're putting 10 hours of work, but what are you doing? Like, there's such a thing as, like, wasteful production. Like, I like, there's people, like, you can put in 10 hours of work, but it could be the different, like you, it could be the different 10 hours. And so mm-hmm. I think I was very effective with what I chose to work on that led me to get to that point. Of course, you know, there was different factors that were involved that, you know, led to that point. But like, I would greatly contribute the reason I got to where I was and where I am now because of the work that I put in to getting there. And I would say that would be the number one. Like I remember staying up till, you know, 1 a.m., you know, in my basement, just, you know, hitting balls around, you know, my family would, you know, come down and be like, do you know what time it is? Like, and I'm like, I'm trying to get good. And it was just that motivation and determination that, you know, that ultimately I believe got me to, mm-hmm. you know, to that position of where I am today. But
I love that. And I agree with you. It's just the compound interest of all the stuff you did over the few years. And also, like you said, doing it effectively. And there are other mm-hmm. factors involved. It's really complicated, but you can't get to your point, I think, without putting in the time. Right.
Yeah. I think that's always involved. Like, you know, like I said, I think we can all, like, I think anybody that has this conversation, like everybody agrees, like there has to be that time that's put in. Obviously there's other, you know, variables associated with it, but you're never going to get to that point unless that is something that is associated with that. And that's, you know, comes along it. Like, I don't think if I would have put, you know, if I would have played against, you know, the best players in the world and for maybe, you know, 4 pickup sessions, and then I did nothing else, I think that would have gotten me better. I think that would have, you know, helped me definitely in my growth, but I don't think if that's what I, you know, was satisfied in, that I would have, you know, continued where I was and where I am today. Like, I think there's just time you need to put into it. And that's solely based on how, like, you know, how much you want it. Like, I think that sounds so cliche, but it's so true and it's so profound. Like, you need to put into the work if you're gonna, you know, you reap what you sow, like the classic mm-hmm. saying there. And mm-hmm. I think the work ethic is something that is something that needs to be there for you in order to grow and be the best player you can be.
And that's great. I think a lot of people will love hearing that. Truthfully, they want an easy, quick fix. Like, if you, they just want to, I'm just kidding.
Instant gratification is a real thing. I'm not hiding that. Like, of course I would want to win the lottery instead of working hard every day. Of course. Like, that's, you know, that's where we live in. And, nothing wrong with that, mm-hmm. but, you know, nothing wrong with hard work either. Yeah. I think that both are okay.
All right. We wanted to wrap up semi soon, but I don't want to, since we're already here, not talk about 2019. So just kind of quickly, I'd love if you could just kind of summarize your 2019 experience with Preston, kind of what it was like being on that top 2 team and competing at a whole different level.
Yeah.
It's a hard one. I know.
A lot of expectations that were put on us early in the season. Like, I think it, like, we were known as a powerhouse team, like going into the season, like, oh, if anybody, you know, the dream, like if anybody could beat them, like you got to put power and power together. And I think that's funny that I was known as a power player. I mean, I guess I hit hard and I mean, I serve hard, but I'm known, like, I feel like, you know, my hitting is more creative and just smooth. But I think a lot of expectations were met into that season. I don't think there was any type of tournament that we went into that people had put expectations on us and we didn't deliver. And I think that's something that I take great pride in that. Like, being, I was 18 when we had that season. I was almost a senior. I think I was a junior in that season. And to be competing for the number one team in the world was something that, like, I don't even think I took time to just think about that. It was just put on me. And so I was expected to deliver. So that was something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's something
you look at. It just kind of came in, right? Like, when I talk about the exponential rise, right? It really was top 30 to top 8 to, like, ooh, second best team in the world. Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And it's something where, like, I'm actually probably more grateful that that's how it happened instead of like a slow, like, you know, expectations building up where it just hit me. And like Seattle was our first tournament. Like we, you know, there was, you know, Chiswick Soulwalter, Origin Vengeance, like all these great teams. And it was like, you know, if Fortress does not get second or first, like boom, like expectations, you know, they did not deliver. Wow. Disappointment tournament for their first. And obviously won. Obviously, you know, so we didn't play CS in the, you know, championship, but we beat a Moktega team that was, you know, top three team in the world by the end of the season as well. So like when we talk about the 2019 season, I think something that, jumps at me is, you know, Preston and I just delivered at every single tournament. You know, the only loss we had was Chiswick Showalter the entire year. And, you know, obviously we beat them, you know, one or two times. So, you know, that was, you know, we obviously didn't get to that number one spot yet, but, you know, that's something that I think, you know, Preston would say the same, as there was never a time where we felt disappointed to the fact that like we didn't deliver. It was just Chiswick Showalter, and we, you know, when it counted, we just were 2 points away from that spot. So
really, really close.
Don't want to talk about it.
We're not going to talk about it.
Thanks for bringing it up.
We're not going to talk about it. I didn't bring it up. I asked you about the season. Okay. So I don't usually do this, but we're here at the present. What does it mean to you that you'll likely debut at number one on the first power rankings?
Yeah, that I'm excited. I don't even think 3 years ago I would have expected this, but that's this when it comes, like, I'm going to be so, it's this definitely going to be something that I'm going to definitely think about in terms of, I think I'm just going to appreciate it. Like, I think that's all you can do. And then at that point, it's like, I'm not going to be satisfied that, like, I'm that type of person, and Preston is too, that once we see that, like, we want to live up to those expectations. We don't want some measly team to come in and take our spot, you know. Of course, there's great teams out there, but, like, I think Preston and I, it's going to get to that point where, like, I want to just solidify in people's minds that, hey, we're number one for a reason. Just like Chiswick Showalter did, just like Chico did, we want to be that team that leaves no doubts in the voters and the teams. I think there's a lot of, you know, rumors and uncertainty in terms of, like, you know, teams and who's going to be there, and which, for rightly so, like, there's teams, you know, putting tons of work, and it's great for the sport, but also I want Boisterous to be the, obviously, the unanimous number one and undoubtedly the number one team. So, like I said, like, I'm excited for when that day comes, and definitely gonna take a little bit of time to appreciate it.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, that's how it is when it comes out. Very shortly, you know, you'll be one of nine players to ever be on a number one team, which is pretty cool.
I'm excited. That's great.
My last question, is not trying to rain on your excitement, but have you thought about kind of what Sean Boyer talked about, and maybe what Tyler and PJ experienced, where being at the number one spot is very different from being, you know, number two or anything, yeah, right? Have you kind of thought about that? Has that already affected you?
No, it hasn't, honestly. You know, thanks for bringing it up, because, you know, that's something that Tyler, Sean, like, they brought it up, you know, being two, going into tournaments with CS, like, you know, we didn't have anything to lose in terms of if we would play them. Like, if anything, it's like, okay, we lost to the number one team. Great. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't beat them, but in reality, like, going to tournaments, Chiswick Showalter wasn't always there, and being, you know, the favorite to win, we were at that point, like, it was just, you know, tournament we went to, boom, we win. Tournament we went go to, we win. So I think to some extent it was already there in terms of we were meeting expectations as the heavily
favorite. Right. That's a good point. You have experienced it in the small scale,
but I think you do. I think you're onto something in terms of number one is number one. Like, that's, you know, the highest you can get in terms of the position you are as a team. So, it's going to be different. Like, I don't know, has Preston done it with two guys for a month or
yeah. So yeah, two guys has been a month and Strange has been a month.
But I think he would even say like two guys when they were number one, they weren't like I think people would have said, they're not going to be here for very, maybe Preston wouldn't say that. I mean, he was like, yeah, we're here. But I think he would even say we weren't supposed to be there.
Right, they were just an intermediary between CS came in. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is going to be different for him. And I think I hope this, is something that we both can relish on and also capitalize as just the entire season goes. We just continue to meet expectations and continue mm-hmm. to be that team that nobody wants to play. And we, even teams that want to play us, we show them, don't play us or don't want
to
play us.
I'm sure no one's excited to play you guys.
But I'm excited to play. Like, can we talk about the fact that we haven't had a serious or official RoundNet series in over a year? And I think just for the whole sport of RoundNet and Spikeball in general, I think that it's a great time to be alive here in May. The fact that when we're filming this, oh, dude, it's 5/22.
What?
The tournament is happening 5/22, May 22nd, dude. Let's kismet.
That's destiny. That's destiny.
But yeah, I'm excited for Florida, even though I'm not going. I'm excited to see who wins. I'm excited just there being a tournament that people get to play in and get points, earn a pro bid, earn the first pro bid. So I'm glad that we're here at this point, and I'm excited that we're having these conversations.
Yeah. Me too. And I'm excited to chat with you, throughout the season to see where your head's at again. Anyway, yep. Caleb, we're going to wrap up here. Can you tell the people where they can find you or Boisterous or everything?
Yeah, you can go on to Instagram primarily. You can look up Boisterous_Spikeball. That's where you can find all things Boisterous. And in terms of my personal Instagram, it's just Caleb Heck 2. That's where I post things about my life. If you want to follow me, go for it. But yeah, those are the two things. I also, Facebook, if you want to be friends, love to have friends on Facebook, but yeah, that's where you can find me. Would love to chat with you. Like, we kind of alluded to earlier. If you have questions, if you want to get better, would love to answer them and just help you in your journey to be a Spikeball player and to be the best RoundNet player you can be.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Caleb. I had a lot of fun today.
I had a lot of fun, Mike. You're a great host. And I think a lot of people, I speak for a lot of people here in the RoundNet community. Just you're somebody that is enjoyable to listen to, and you bring up great topics. And I hope nothing but the best for this podcast and for future endeavors that you have.
Thank you, Caleb. That means a lot.
Of course.
It because, I'm just asking questions that I want to know,
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, dude. And I think they're very relevant. I don't think you ask questions that are, why is he asking that?
Thank
subscribe,
you.
Guys.
I appreciate it. You heard that. Anyway, for the outro, thank you for listening. Thank you to Caleb for joining today. This has been a great one. Check out all of our episodes. They're on Google Podcasts and Spotify, as well as on the Lefty on 2 YouTube channel. But that's all I have for you today. I'm Mike White. We'll see you next time.